Let us pray. Dear our wonderful, merciful Heavenly Father, we come to you with humility and the understanding of how great you are. We thank you for the country you've given to us, that we can worship you without persecution. We thank you for the ability to come together to this building, that we can come in this middle of the week to remember you. Yes, it helps to be an encouragement to us in our daily walk of life. We thank you for the promise of eternal life that you've given to us through your word. We ask that you help to be encouraging to each other. And we ask that you help anyone with physical or spiritual ailments that cannot come with us for any reason, that they could get over those things and be with us again so they can receive the same encouragement. We ask that you give our speakers ready remembrance of what they have to say so that we can learn from your word. We thank you for sending your son on that cross to die for our sins so that we can have that hope. And in your son's name we pray. Amen.
On Sunday morning, we have been looking at the book of Galatians, and we were in chapter 2 this past Sunday morning. I want to look at just a phrase which we see in chapter 2, verses 20 and 21 as our thoughts for tonight and our invitation. Paul, of course, wrote many, many books of the New Testament, and his life and conduct and his attitude set before us in the gospel are something that show that he really lived by the principles of the word of God. The phrase I want to look at here is in verse 20, where he says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." And so this phrase, "crucified with Christ," it's one that gets repeated a lot, and it's one I think is worth looking at just for a few minutes. So what does that mean? How is it possible to be crucified with Christ? You know, what did Paul mean by that? Of course, we can't go back in time and literally be crucified with Christ. And of course, Paul couldn't have done that either. But the phrase, I think, really is helped by what we see in Romans chapter 6, when we see how we can come in contact with the blood of Christ. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 8, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, the old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with him. That we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. So if we died with Christ, we believe that we all shall live with him." So here we see, you know, Paul uses this same terminology, being crucified. And so to be united in Christ into his death happens when we become children of God, when we are baptized. And it's very easy to see that in Romans chapter 6, how we are baptized in his death, and we are being united with him in the likeness of his death, and then being raised up. But Paul makes the point there in verse 6 of Romans 6 that we are crucifying our old man. And so when Paul uses that phrase with the Galatians, that "I have been crucified with Christ," that's what he means, is that that old man of sin is gone. So if we have been baptized into Christ, then we can say, like Paul does, I have been crucified with Christ. That's what we can say. And so what, since we know that that is possible, because we see it in the likeness of baptism, that we are crucified with Christ, what does that mean? I think when we look at Galatians chapter 2, we see that it means different things to different people. And as you have noticed in the study that we've been having, what it means to some is it means a death to the old law. And that's the point that we have made many times in the last few weeks, that Paul is writing about himself as a Jew who is one who was formerly under the law of Moses, and he is writing to those that are having a problem getting away from the law of Moses because others are wanting to still keep them under that. And so those have been crucified with Christ have also died to the old law. And as we looked at Romans chapter 6, let's also look at Romans chapter 7, because Romans tells us the same thing regarding the death to the law. Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives, but if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you have also become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we are in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. So Paul makes a really interesting point here with this illustration that he's using about marriage. And people understand that you could not be married to two people, otherwise you'd be called an adulterer or an adulteress. And so that point is understandable. And what Paul is saying is you can't be married to two laws. Just like you can't be married to two spouses, you cannot be married to two laws. And so when you're under the new law, the old law is gone. And so, again, that's something that people struggled with. But for some, when you talk about being crucified with Christ, it had an impact on their relationship to the old law and what it was that they did in their former life. And we might not understand that as much because we were not formerly Jews under that, but certainly those that Paul's writing to understand that very well. Also, in Galatians chapter 2, we know that being crucified with Christ means for all of us that we should be dead to self, that we die to self. Look at verse 20. Of Galatians chapter 2. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So if Christ is living, then self is not. And so it's no longer I who live. And you can certainly see that in the life of Paul and the choices that he is making as he preaches the gospel of Christ. Jesus taught in Luke chapter 9 that all must be willing to deny self to follow him. And it is the same with us. Also, Paul says later on in Galatians chapter 5 that being crucified with Christ means that we have crucified the flesh. And it means that, not literally our flesh, but we have crucified the old man of sin. We have crucified the way that we used to walk. in verse 24 of Galatians chapter 5, those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And so, being crucified with Christ, for these that Paul is writing to at this time, it means to them it's a death to the old law. To us and to everyone, it means death to self. And it also means that we crucify the flesh. And that also was mentioned in Romans chapter 6. If you notice that happens in principle at our baptism, that we are raised up to walk in newness of life. The old man is put to death. And so Romans chapter 8, Colossians chapter 3, many times in Paul's letters, he talks about this putting to death the deeds of the body. And what he's simply saying is that being crucified with Christ means that you have changed. That it's no longer you. He said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And so, being crucified with Christ means that we are crucified to all the world. That we are not following the world anymore. Our obedience is with Christ. Our dependence is on Christ. And, you know, we're not in bondage to the world anymore. So it is a great thing when you can say that. And when Paul makes that point, it is a great thing that he was able to say, it's not me that's living anymore, but I'm living for Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. So I thought those were some good thoughts for us to think about as we live our life every day, because it's hard to be detached and crucifying the world and to not live in the way that others around us are living. We have a different goal. We have a different standard. And Paul certainly did as he was spreading the gospel. And as we have looked at in the book of Acts, there were people on every turn trying to persecute him for preaching this very message of dedication to Christ. And so we should not be surprised when we are persecuted as well. But it is totally worth the effort to do that, to be crucified with Christ, so that we can be with Him in eternity. But let's keep these things in mind. If there's anything that we can do to help you be obedient to the gospel of Christ, we'd invite you to come while we stand and sing.
Follow, follow, follow. Bow with me, please. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to come out this evening to learn more about your word, to hear another message brought to us. Lord, we ask that this service that we've provided unto you has been pleasing in your sight. And Lord, we ask that you help us to make sure we do all the correct things in accordance with your word. Lord, we ask that you be with us as we go back into the world for the rest of our week, that we might be the light in the world, that we might be able to plant seeds in others' hearts. Lord, we ask that you be with us, that we might be the example and the encouragement to others to come to join your children. Lord, we ask that you keep us safe as we go home tonight. And until we meet again, Lord, we're very thankful for the sacrifice that your Son Jesus made on the cross for our sins, for the avenue of prayer that we have through him, that we might be able to communicate with you and to bring all our woes and our desires, to understand that you have control over everything and we can lay them at your feet to do with as you will. And it's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.